Well, I've been asking the Lord for this period of time when Pastor asked me to come and to share. And, you know, there are times when it just kind of flows, and then there are the other times.
Right.
Well, this was one of those other times. And I have been busy this week, but still, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm here. Let's do this. And nothing. I mean, just flat out, I'm about ready to call Pastor and say, have you got a plan B? And last night, it was like 8 o'clock, and I literally out loud said, God, come on. I mean, I'd done all the little things, and it was like the Lord says, okay. And the word came to me, why? And then the word adversity. And it was like, and then it just the clouds opened up, and it was like, okay, I get it. Lately, in this last year, I should say, up until even now, so many of my good friends, family, and my friends I call family, have been going through so much. And the word is adversity. One of my bestest besties lost her son in a drowning, not even 30 years old. Another one of my good buddies had a 10-hour surgery, didn't have cancer, but they'd chopped things in her legs, nerves, that she is now in such constant pain. She's on medicine like every 4 hours just to survive and keep sane. Another friend just found out her daughter's autistic. Another friend, her issues in their family. Another friend, her husband's very, very ill. I could go on and on and on. And I have a feeling every single person in this room could too. And I began to ask the Lord, why are so many people hurting? God, what is this? You know, I don't want to go into depression over stuff. And Lord, I need your peace and I need your... So God, why? And why? Why are we, you know, and it's our board, our Hope Restored board has just taken a beating. It's like, why? And the Lord said, why not? And that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Right.
I go, well, I guess, okay. I mean, who are we that we are not expecting that we're going to maybe have some problems in our life too? And the Lord says, yes, because it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, just because you're out there doing stuff, and sometimes because you're out there doing stuff, you get it more. And so I said, okay, Lord, then if that's not the right question, what is the right question? And it came to my heart, what can we learn? What can you learn from adversity? What can you learn when you're down in the dumps? What can you learn when you're really low? What can you learn? And it was like, I don't really want to go into that classroom, Lord. But okay, let's go there. What can we learn? And I came across James 1, 2 and 4, 2 through 4, 2, 3 and 4. It says, my brother, I count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wow. Do I have to count it all joy? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect to complete and lacking nothing. And the Lord says, I didn't tell you to be happy. I told you to have joy. Because in our joy, we get strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, he didn't say, be happy my friend had cancer or had that long surgery or my friend lost whatever. But you can count it all joy because I am in this hardship. I can help you become better. I didn't give it to you so you would be better. Things happen.
Right.
You know, oftentimes I've heard people say, oh, the devil's after me. Excuse me, sometimes just your flesh
right.
is enough. The devil doesn't have to do a doggone thing because you sabotage yourself.
That's right.
And there are times when the devil does come after you because you're really doing stuff for God and you're doing really good. And he's like, I don't want Sandy there. Boom. Now let's see where you go with that. In adversity, we have to learn, and through trials, we have to learn that God is in control no matter what. And instead of saying, why, say, okay, God, what am I going to get out of this? What can I learn through this? How can I be better? Philippians 4, 11 and 12 and 13 says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased down below, and I know how to abound. everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And that opened up my heart to so much that last night, because it was like all this stuff that I've been having just all of a sudden just flowed out last night. I heard someone once say or read it that we won't know God is all we need until God is all we have. We won't know God is all we need until God is all we have. And I have seen many of my friends that God is all that's left. That's all they have left. So I began to look for blessings in adversity. And I was thinking back in my own self before I get into the word here. And the Lord brought to my mind a time in my life that I was probably one of the lowest times to date in my life. I was 19 years old. I had met my now husband of 40 years this year. And we just absolutely loved one another. We were 16 and we were happy, happy, happy. And at 19, he decided he didn't want me anymore. And I, in my mind, I had my whole life planned out with this man. He was my man. I'm only 19, but I thought I was, you know, an adult. And I had myself all planned out, and he walked up to my door with my fishing pole and my ring and handed me both, my class ring, high school class ring that he wore on his pinky, and my fishing pole, which we did a lot of fishing. And he handed me both, and he said, "I'm done." I mean, to tell you folks, I was crushed. We're supposed to go on a date. I'm dressed for a date. And he ends up just walking up to the door and doing this to me. I was so crushed. I didn't know what to do. And like a dummy, because he lived in another town, like 5 miles away. I got on my bicycle because I didn't have a car. And I rode through the dark, infested dogs and everything, nipping at my heels in the dark, in the country. But I wouldn't stop. I rode until I got to his house. And he probably knew I was coming, because he never showed up till his mom showed up, and then she put my bike in her trunk and took me home. It was terrible. I went into depression. My mom wouldn't let me drive the car. She said, "You're not driving my car." You know, and she says, "I just don't like the state that you're in. I'm just not going to let you go there." And I began to blame everybody and everything. And then I began to blame God. And my mom says, "You need to do something." She said, I was in college at the time, a freshman in college, and she said, "I want you to go on a camping trip. I heard you were talking about a few weeks ago that there is a special event coming up with your college class." And she said, "I want you to go." And I said, "I don't really want to go." She says, "I think you need to go." And so she got me all hooked up, and I went to Mission Springs up in Santa Cruz Mountains in California to a wonderful, wonderful Christian college camp. And I was there, and I was just trying to just manage one foot in front of the other, and guess what happened? This cutest guy showed up. I mean, he was just the cutest thing. And we began to talk, and he began to hear my story, and he began to kind of hold my hand and try and help me through it. And before that 3 days were up, I kind of thought he was okay. Now, he was a substitute for Randy, but in his mind, I wasn't. And so that was another story. We won't go there. But in this period of time, I went back home, and I'm still just kind of having this little thing in my heart. And my mom said, "You know," she said, "there's another thing that's coming up." She said, "It's a 5-day retreat into the mountains, but it's a walking one." And I'm going, "A walking retreat?" She goes, "Yeah." She says, "It's 5 days you walk, and it's a backpacking trip, and it's just for girls. And it's by the Navigators. It's a wonderful Christian organization. And they're going to be studying the word, and I think you need to go on this trip." So I thought, well, okay. So we got ourselves together, and five girls took a 5-day walking up into really high country, Kennedy Meadows. I mean, in the nighttime, it was one night I actually got in a sleeping bag with my sister, now sister-in-law, my friend at the time, because we were so cold. We were using cow pies just to heat up because we were up so high there was hardly any stuff to... I mean, we were cold. Oh, it was horrible. So the next day, you know, I'm just kind of sitting around trying to get warm, and she says, I got something I want you girls to do, our leader. She says, I want you to take 3 hours, and I want you to go into the forest, because we were in the high country, and I don't want you to come out for 3 hours. Okay, well, what are we going to do for 3 hours? She says, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. But she says, first let's have breakfast, and then we'll take care of it. Well, we had packed in all of our food. And in those days, it was a company called Bolton. And Bolton made biscuits. Bolton made spaghetti. Bolton made lasagna. Bolton made a ton of things in a powder form in a sack. And you took this powder form in a sack, you put it in water, you stirred it around, and it became something. And that's what we ate for 5 days. Bolton everything. I always remember Bolton biscuits, Bolton spaghetti. Our problem was the one thing we didn't bring was something to stir the pot. And so we were looking for things that we hoped nothing went potty on or somebody stepped on. You know, we'd try and get things and clean them off just right so that we could stir our little pot of something so that it would come out looking like something we could eat. And it all smelled the same. And it kind of pretty much tasted the same. The biscuits tasted like the spaghetti. So that morning she says, we're going to go out and we want you to do 15 minutes of singing to the Lord, 15 minutes of prayer to the Lord, 15 minutes of reading your word, and 15 minutes of be quiet. Then 15 minutes of singing to the Lord, 15 minutes of praying to the Lord, 15 minutes of reading to the Lord, and 15 minutes of be quiet. But when you go out, I want you to pray for something. We need a spoon. You're sending me three hours out in the boonies by myself, and I am a mouth person. I am not a quiet person. Pastor, she and I are, there's something about that. When she and I go anywhere, it is like, your ears would be like sore when you got back. I just am not a quiet person. So 15 minutes of quiet was going to be a stretch for me. I could sing, I could read, I could pray, but the 15 minutes of quiet had me a little nervous. So, okay, we pray for what we need, and she tells us to, you know, whatever, because we have to have something to pray for. So that was one of the things, because we said, what do you want us to pray for? And she said, pray for a spoon, pray for your family, pray for the church, pray and so forth. And so I went out and I found this beautiful stream. It was in this little gully, and it was just way, in fact, it was way down in this gully, and you had to look way, like probably up to that ceiling would be how far down I went in to get to the stream. And there were great big rocks in this stream, and it was granite, beautiful granite rocks. And I went out in the middle of the stream on a large granite rock. It had enough to where I could get out there and not get wet and still be out in the middle of the water. And it was enough I could lay down on it. I mean, it was a big rock. It was a big stream. So I'm sitting out there, and I do my 15 minutes of this, and then I 15 minutes of prayer, and I began to pray about Randy. And my first 15 minutes of prayer about Randy was, woe is me. And then I read, and then I sing, and then I'm quiet, and I'm thinking about Randy. Then it comes around again my next 15 minutes, and now I'm mad. I'm getting mad. And I'm mad at Randy now. So I'm 15 minutes of mad at Randy right now. Read some scripture, probably about, well, we'll go there.
Yeah.
10 minutes of, you know, about the blood, get the blood, his blood, his blood. And then 15 minutes of quiet. Now I'm mad about Randy. Now my third hour. Now I'm mad at God. And in my talking time to God, I passed my woe is me, Randy's a whatever, and now God, it's all your fault because you brought him into my life. And when you brought him into my life, I was closer to you, and now I'm not as close to you as I was, and it's your fault because you brought him into my life. It's all, I know you did it, it's your fault, it's not me, obviously. I'm 19 and know it all. You're the God of the universe, what do you know? Yeah. And as I began to talk to him, not nice, I heard what was so neat when you said that this morning. Only one time in my life, up to that point and even to now, I had never, ever heard the voice of God except one time in my life. And I mean, I was just at God, and I was crying and snot flowing, and I mean, I was upset. And the Lord all of a sudden spoke. And I mean, I'm surprised that everybody in the valley didn't hear it. And it was, Sandra, now I'm Sandy. Nobody calls me Sandra unless I'm in trouble. Do you know how I go? Sandra Lynn. Sandra, I would never give you anybody that would take you away from me. I mean, that resonated inside of me. And at first I was afraid, but then I thought, well, you wouldn't, would you? And then it was like, you spoke to me. This little Baptist girl actually heard the voice of God. And now I'm going to go back to the Navigator people and tell them I just heard the voice of God. And I know they're going to think I'm nuts, because we just didn't talk about stuff like that then. But you know what? I was like, wow. And I had 45 minutes more. So I had my rest of my time, and I was so excited, and I couldn't wait to tell my little friends what I had just heard. And then I get to thinking, now I was raised in Assembly of God. I had prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and didn't receive and got mad and went to the Baptist church. And so I was kind of mixed up. So I knew that they probably wouldn't appreciate this, because enough of my background. If I start here saying I heard a voice out in the wilderness, they'd probably stop the whole thing and take me home. So I start second guessing God. Well, maybe you really didn't say it loudly. Maybe it was just in here. And then I began to, how you know when God does something and you second guess the Lord? Oh my gosh. So now I'm crawling out of this ravine, and I mean crawling out of this ravine, because it's up to get up there, and part of it is like on hands and knees, and then I need to stand a little bit, and then you kind of hands and knees, and I'm headed for this one tree that had, looks like it had been struck by lightning or something, because part of it was gone, and then it had been hollowed out at one point, and it was black, like it had burnt, but it was down in this ravine. And I thought, if I can get to that tree, I can go around. It looks like a little easier path to get out of here. But in my mind, I'm thinking, how am I going to say this? What am I going to say? And as I'm walking up, I see this little crevice, this little niche in the side of this tree. And what's in that? Looks like there's something in there. And there was. It was a spoon. And she had said, what do we pray? And we said, what do we pray about? Pray for a spoon. We need a spoon. And I went in there and I grabbed that, and the Lord in my heart, not out loud, in my heart said, never doubt I spoke to you. Never doubt you heard my voice. This spoon's old. It was old when I got it. It's really old now. But I have kept this spoon because it's like the rainbow. It's a promise to me that I really did hear the voice of God. And so when I ran then, it was like, I got that thing and I'm running. Hey, where is everybody? Come to find out, I was the only one that really stayed the whole 3 hours. And they were waiting for me. So I come into camp and I said, I got to tell you something. And when I told them the story, of course, they were kind of rolling their eyes. And I said, and then let me tell you what I found. And then when they heard the story of the spoon, it was like, wow, maybe. I was in a pile of adversity. I was hurting bad. But the Lord took that time of adversity in my life, and he showed me some things about myself. He showed himself real to me. He opened up his heart and allowed me to come in a way I'd never been before. God became more real to me in that weekend than he ever, ever had been in my life. And my grandparents were Assembly of God pastors. You know, I had been taken to church. I understood about the Lord, and the bulk of it was not as much heart knowledge as head knowledge. But when it became heart knowledge, when it jumped down and came out of here, my life changed. And obviously, everybody knows I married the guy. When Randy came back, and he told his mom, he goes, you know, I can't live with her, and I can't live without her. That was a great way to come back to your girlfriend. But when he came back, I told him, I says, you know, things are going to be a bit different here because I have had a heart change. And if you want to come back, you do too. And we ended up going to a 5-day conference over in Oakland. Bill Gothard, I don't know if anybody remembers who he was or knew him, but it was an awesome conference, and it changed Randy's life. and it changed our path, and it was awesome. But it this started, and it came from adversity. If Randy and I would have stayed like we were doing our little thing, I don't think we'd ever been as close to God. But we had to go through a trial by fire to get to where we were and where God wanted us to be. He used that adversity. So last night I said, okay, Lord, if you're wanting me to share about adversity, then help me to find blessings in adversity, to be able to share blessings out of adversity. Because of adversity, I began to seek God closer. That was one of the keys. Adversity caused me to seek God more. When I came down off that mountain, 5 days up in the hills, I was different. And I began to seek God differently. In Hosea 5:15, he says, in their distress, they will eagerly look for me. They were going through a lot in this period, in this part of Scripture. And this one sentence got to me. In their distress, they will eagerly look for me. Well, I'm not saying I like adversity, but if the Lord is telling me to find the good out of adversity, then I'm going to mine adversity and look for good. Because of adversity, I will be able to help others more effectively. Oh my gosh, I have gone through stuff in my life, things that, some heavy duty things, that has allowed me to be able to counsel or to help others. And I'm sure all of you are the same. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate and the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Many of you have maybe lost a loved one, and you have a friend that's never lost one, but they just did. You are right there for them. My son ran away and stole my grandkids.
Yeah,
he did. Kidnapped them. I went through, excuse the expression, but we're, you know, a literal hell. It was horrible. It was bad. And when I saw Ty getting ready to do the same thing, I was able to go and say, okay,
yep,
here we go, girl. Let me tell you. This isn't easy, but I'm right here for you. And I've had people do that in my life, you know, when I've gone through certain things. They come alongside. I have one of my close, dear friends in California. She, this surgery that she went through, and she's having so much pain. And I've been kind of like her prayer partner, and she hadn't called me. And everybody says, how's Josie? I said, well, she hasn't called me. I thought, she's been on my heart. I'm going to call her. And I called her up and I said, Josie, what's going on? She goes, oh, Sandy, I've been wanting to call you, but I've been just... And she says, I don't understand. Why? Why do I have to do this? And I said, Josie, think of Moses standing there with Aaron and her.
Yeah.
He had to keep his hands up. And it got to a point where the pain was so bad, if he didn't keep his hands up, they would lose the battle. And when he'd bring his hands down, people would die. And he'd try and bring him up, but the pain was so bad. I said, Josie, I am here to hold your hands
yes.
up in prayer. You cannot hold your own hands up in prayer. Josie, I am here for you. And we began to pray on the phone, and the Lord gave her some words. And you know what? It turned her around. She called me back the next day. She said, I'm better. I talked to her yesterday. She said, oh, Sandy, I'm better. And I'm remembering my hands are being held up by others. You know these things, but when you're in the midst of the trial and the pain and the suffering, it goes out the window. Everything you've learned goes out the window. Because of adversity, I can experience God's power at work in my life. 2 Corinthians 12. It's part the last part of 7 and then through to 10. Therefore, to keep me from being conceited, would I ever be conceited? Lord says, there are times in your life you need to be brought down a niche, Sandy. I am forced to deal with recurring problems, things that the enemy has brought to torment me. I begged the Lord 3 times to take it away, but he told me, this is Paul speaking. But the Lord spoke to Paul and said, my kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. And that's clear then. When I'm weak, that's when I can be strong. Because I am not looking at myself, I'm looking to him. When things come at me or the Lord is teaching me, he says, when you're at your weakest, you can be at your strongest if you allow me to come in and it's me working through you.
Right.
Because of adversity, I can grow up in my faith and be more mature believer. James 1, 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I read this earlier. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or perfected and complete, lacking nothing. Adversity grows me up. It matures me. Because of adversity, I can learn to trust God's protection. Psalms 18, 1, 2, and 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my trust in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall he save me from mine enemies. Adversity can help me to trust and to learn more, to be closer to the Lord. Because of the adversity, I don't have to be a spoiled child. I don't have to act like a spoiled child. In Hebrews, it talks about us enduring discipline. Wait a minute, we're adults. Do you mean we have to be disciplined? You betcha. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 says, endure your discipline. God corrects you as a father corrects his children. All children are disciplined by their fathers. Think about it, if you had a kid that was never disciplined. Oh my gosh, who wants to be around a little stinky kid like that? But if a father loves his kid or mommy, we're disciplinarians. We discipline them. All children are disciplined by their fathers. If you aren't disciplined like the other children, you aren't a part of the family. Meaning, if I don't care about you, Sandy, I wouldn't discipline you. On earth, we have fathers who discipline us, and we respect them. Shouldn't we place ourselves under the authority of God, the Father of all, so that we will live? For a short time, our fathers disciplined us as though best they could. Yet God disciplines us for our own good so that we can become holy like him. We don't enjoy being disciplined. I mean, we're not masochistic people. We don't like to be hurt. It always seems to cause more pain than joy. But later on, those who learn from the discipline have the peace that comes from doing what is right. Wow. That to me was like, okay, Lord, when I am being disciplined, or when you are helping me, then there's an issue in my life that needs to be changed. And instead of fighting and screaming and hollering like a baby and throwing a fit, I need to stop and say, Lord, is this you? Are you trying to show me something in my life? Well, if I'm acting like that, surely. Instead of coming to him and saying, Lord, help me. Because of adversity, I can experience a deeper intimacy with the Lord. Psalms 34, 17, 18, 19 is God's word translation once again. Righteous people cry out. The Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near. Here's the key. The Lord is near to those whose hearts are humble. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person has many troubles, but the Lord rescues him from them all. Wow. Look at all of the things. Instead of looking at our troubles and saying, why me, why me? Saying, Lord, okay, what can I get from this? What can I glean from this? How can I grow from this? I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be able to walk through a trial or a trouble and not be a stinky brat when I come out the other side. I want to walk through it and people say, Sandy just went through that hard thing. And you know what? She walked through it with her head held high and not stomping her feet and not getting mad or walking in a pithy mood or whatever. She walked through it strong. That's what we need to strive for as Christians. We need to step up another step. We don't want to be in kindergarten all our lives. We want to be drinking the milk all the time. We want to get out the stabs, the big old pieces of steak. You know, I mean, and potatoes, and probably not the cleanest thing. A lot of us are going clean. Well, I like steak and potatoes. Give me a good old ribeye any day. Yeah. But I want to be able to do that in the spirit. I want to be able to eat the meat of the word, the strong. I want God to trust me. I want him to trust me with that. Sandy's strong enough now. I can give her this because I know she will go through it stronger. I can honestly tell you, and I can say everybody in this room would agree, that some of the trials that I had been through as a more mature Christian, if I would have got that in my first week as a Christian, I would have been a dead Christian.
Yep.
I mean, I would have been flat dead. But God said He'll only give you as much as you can endure, as much as you can have. That's in 1 Corinthians. He'll only give you as much as you can handle. But as you can handle more, then more comes. And that strips away. That strips away. And that makes us more pure. That makes us closer to Him. This week, I know Pastor asked us to do a 30-day thing where we had our 30 days of with the Lord. I hope you didn't just stop after the 30 days.
Right.
I have to be honest with you. There are days when my 30 is 15 and it's driving in the car talking to God.
Right.
I hope, though, that this week you'll do something. And that's make a list of the things that you're concerned about, the things that are bothering you, the things that's starting to bring you down. Make a list. I don't care what they are or what they seem to be or how odd they might be. Make a list. Then put a star next to each of the things you have no control over. If it's I want to lose weight, guess what? You have control over that.
Right.
You know, if you want to be nicer to your husband or your wife, you have control over that. It's your tongue. You know, if there are certain things you have control over. I want to be a better person. Well, then pull your pants up and be a better person.
That's right.
You know, there are things you can do.
Right.
But some of the things that bother us, we have no control over. So put a star next to the things that you have no control over. Each of the things that you're concerned about that you don't have control over, I want you to say, okay, Lord, here they are. Some of these things I can work on, and you've given me the ability, because I am a Christian and I can do things. I'm trying to be a mature Christian, so you give me things I can do. But the things I have no control over that's bringing me down, God, I am going to give them to you on this nice little platter, and here they are. And we will revisit those occasionally, Lord, and see what you've done. Because I can do nothing. And if I try and take those things off that plate that I have no control over, guess what? I have just messed something up because God's working on that.
Right.
If God's working on something, you plant that seed in the ground, you go pull up that seed to see how much it's grown, you've just killed the seed. So if you give them to Him and you seed that to Him and you trust Him with that, you can go back and revisit and say, okay, Lord, how is that now? How is that going now? Lord, you know, I have prayed for things that took years before I saw a change. My great-grandmother prayed for her oldest son for him to be a Christian. Mean as a snake. I don't care if it is my uncle. He was mean as a snake. He was just mean. And my great-grandma passed away and never saw my uncle see him come to the Lord. But I did. I got to see him come to the Lord. But she believed up until death, and I thought she was up there just bugging Jesus, because that was my great-grandma. She loved the Lord. And I thought, I know where she's at. She's saying, don't forget Him. Don't forget Him. That's our Lord. So ask each day to help in situations you can and cannot. And I'm not saying you don't go to Him with situations you can deal with yourself. You have to, but you just don't take them back. The Lord loves us so much. He really, really does. All He asks is that we trust Him. All He asks is in your adversity, in the path that you are in the walk that you are in, trust me in every situation. Allow me to take you by the hand and walk with you through it. And when it's so devastating, and folks, I have seen a lot of people in this situation lately, He will pick you up and carry you. You just don't have the strength to make it one more step. He won't leave you there. He will pick you up and carry you through that situation. Father, we want to thank you so much. We want to thank you, Father, that your glory is being revealed every day as we walk on this earth. I know, Lord, that you don't allow painful things to come into our lives without a reason. And Lord, you have asked me to ask a different question now. Not, wow, why, what is going on? But just to say, I trust you, Lord, and that I can learn from this adversity and this painful experience. Help me to know what that is. Help me to learn from my problems so that I can help others. Help me to learn to focus on worship and not worries. Lord, I want to glory in you, and I want you to be inside of me. So, Father, please, let your glory be revealed in me every day. Father, we thank you. We truly praise you. We glorify your name, Father God. Oh, thank you, Father, for this day. And, Lord, seeds have been planted today. Good ground is in this room. And Father God, I pray that the seeds go deep into our spirits, mine included. Father, I learned a lot last night and the last weeks and months, really. Father God, let the seed take root and not be plucked out in any way, shape, or form. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for our praise and worship time, for our fellowship time. We thank you, Father, for walking with us through all of our times. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.